this is the part two of ADHD and resilience. As most of you know, my mother brought this topic up. It was my mom who sent me an email saying, "You have not once talked about resilience in any of your episodes." And my response to that was, "Well, I kind of think I portray the resilience quality." She goes, "Well, yeah, but you've never said that word." I said, "Okay." And she basically, that's why this whole season started. And we're just going to make this very easy. And it's going to be one question. It's basically your story with ADHD and resilience. It can be any story. It doesn't have to be the time in your life that you were the most resilient and it was so hard and whatnot. It can be any story you want to tell, any story. And it doesn't even have to be like my ADHD resilience. It can be resilience just as you as a person. Any story where you had to get up when you got knocked down. That is basically what this is. So we are going to kick this off with Leo Gagnon. Leo, ADHD and resilience, or just flat out resilience, whatever you want to say, whatever story you want to tell.
So, you know, this is something that got a lot of thoughts on, and I've been kind of thinking about it throughout the week. And really since the topic came up, what I think a couple weeks ago when we decided that we're going to do part two. And for those who weren't aware, like, I got kind of sick at the beginning of the week, nothing major, but ended up sleeping for, you know, like a day and a half out of a 2-day period. And was pretty out of it for a couple days, and like, ended up missing sending out like my newsletter that I've been super focused on getting out every single Tuesday at 8:42 a.m. That was like me holding myself accountable. And this is the first time that I've missed sending that out in like, I don't know, 8 weeks or something now. And I kind of realized, like, as I was thinking about this, that resilience ultimately is just understanding that you're playing a much longer game and that no one moment defines that. It's never what happens in this one instance. It's always just taking the next step. And so, you know, I kind of started to beat myself up over missing that. But ultimately, I was like, you know what? It really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It's about, you know, I was holding myself to this mostly just to kind of make sure that I was doing what I needed to do. And I'll pick up next week and it's not going to be a big deal. It's not going to ultimately affect anything. And I think that's really like what resilience is. It's just living past the individual moments. It's understanding that you're playing a long game. And it's, you know, rolling with the punches and continuing on the next chance you get. So yeah, I figured that was just the best way to visualize resilience for me, because I kind of just lived it this week. So right at mind, and we know ADHD, that's the way to do it. Like,
I like that. I like that a lot. Does anyone have anything to say to Leo on that? Because that's a really good description, buddy, on that.
I got some.
Yeah, let's go.
Leo, I love you, and I'm glad that you're here.
Appreciate that. Love you too.
You're fucking awesome, RJ. I goddamn love you so much. Thank you to anybody
else.
You
think he's going to make a smart-ass comment, and then he swings in with the caring. Brilliant.
Well, it is. Anybody else before we move on to Justin next?
It's a huge deal in my story personally, but in the kids I work with now, but also for all of us, because one kind of theme that comes through in the ADHD content you see people make is sometimes the theme of ADHD people as these lovable but dysfunctional people who just bring mirth and, you know, wonder into people's lives, but we're a bit goofy and we fuck up some stuff. the idea of resilience to what? Because of that diminishing, what is in my opinion, a diminishing perspective on us, we from an early age in some cases get put into that kind of box. And it's the box of like, well, if I can keep my shit together on the most basic of levels, that's all people expect of me because people think I'm a bit of a fuck up. So not just resilient to some kind of super basic functional mean, I want to take every kid and every adult back to the absolute entirety of their potential. So I don't accept that we can only just function, tick these basic boxes. I think we can have the whole fucking lot because I think from an early age, we are told we are a bit broken. I was diagnosed late, so I had to spend 40 years just thinking there was something wrong with me and then finding out what it was. But having to be resilient, not having that understanding, I think was especially cruel for me. And having, giving context to that resilience. So essentially when I can say to a kid, look, you're dealing with this thing, other people deal with this thing, here's how they deal with this thing, here's books on how to deal with this thing, then you're, rather than making resilience some kind of incredibly isolating solo kind of event, you make it contextual, supported, intelligent, because people have some kind of fucking clue what's going on. In the absence of that, I mean, you know, I was raised in this house, but, you know, the room is about 10 meters that way. When I was 11, I was lying on that floor thinking about killing myself. The essence of resilience for me from that point was for me to have a perspective on life that allowed me to see why life was worth living, which is why I'm such a nutcase now, because I objectively have things to be happy about. That perspective, which was born in a very dark time when I was just looking for reasons to keep on functioning, now I'm a bit hyperactive because I have too many people who love me, too many reasons to be happy. If you're used to squinting, when you get a bit of actual light, it's blinding. But that perspective is what we need, because far from, I don't want any more of this. Leo's been very helpful to me. You've all been very helpful to me, but Leo helping me go from, well, I'm just going to sit in a corner and be, I'm just going to mask over here and be a good guy. I'm like, huh? It's okay, Karen. Hi. Nice to meet you. No, we're going to start doing. We're going to start doing. And I've seen last week, I met a neurodiverse person who wasn't masking inside a school, as scary as that is. So I think it's incredibly important, but I think we shouldn't have to be such an isolating and alienating experience, because we shouldn't have to be resilient on our own. That resilience is made a lot more necessary and a lot more messy than it needs to be, because no context is given to people from an early age on who they are and what they need. And let's be honest, where attention issues are concerned, it's not just neurodiverse people. It's practically every kid and every adult everywhere has issues with attention. So this is something that everyone could just do and understand. Yeah, but I'd like it to be, I'd like it to be easier for us. It shouldn't have had to have been quite such a fraught, desperate, clunky kind of thing. It didn't need to be.
Right.
But thanks to the support of people like you guys, it isn't now.
Awesome. Anyone? Yeah, that was great conclusion, Justin. I love that. Anyone have anything to say to Justin's resilience?
I love you, Justin, and I'm glad that you're
Justin. I knew it. I called it.
RJ's going to steal the show. I love it. By the way, Geraint, good to fucking see you, man.
Hello.
God, it's good to see you again, man, truly. We are going to go with Shannon next on this resilience topic. Any story you want to tell, ADHD or not, resilience.
Yeah, I mean, I think ADHD folks are some of the most resilient folks that you could meet. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. And some of them mentioned already, like the stuff we go through, you're diagnosed early, you can get put in a box as like a bad kid. If you're diagnosed late, you spend a lot of time thinking, what on earth is wrong with me? Why am I so weird? Why is my brain not working the way it's supposed to? But there's a lot more to it as well. Depression, for example, is, they call it a comorbidity. It's just, it often comes alongside with ADHD, but I think comorbidity is just like the worst word in the world. But anyway, so a ton of ADHDers have it or have had it. I myself have had it. I had pretty intense depression when I was about like 20, 21. I had just graduated from university. It's a whole thing of not knowing what I was doing in life, but I essentially like couldn't get out of bed for like 6 months. And it was just like, it was the worst period of my life. But looking back, you know, over 10 years later, and over the past year, after like the last year or so, my mom passed away in March, which is one of the reasons why you guys haven't seen me in a while. I've been sort of stepping back, experienced a little bit of that depression, doing a lot better now, but something that is on my mind of like, why are ADHDers so resilient? If you struggle with ADHD and you struggle with depression as a comorbidity, worst word in the world, depression does this awful thing where your brain is like, I'm going to feel this way forever. And with ADHD, there's this thing called time blindness, right? Where we don't have a sense of time anyway. So it like compounds this sense of like, I'm going to feel like this forever. So anyone who has had ADHD and depression and has been able to lift themselves out of it even a little bit, which I'm very grateful to say, like, back over 10 years ago, I did, with the help of a lot of friends, therapy, medication, all kinds of help, but was able to do it by connecting with the feeling that it's not going to feel like this forever. And that's really, really, really hard for folks with ADHD to do, because we don't have this sense of time. We kind of live in the now. So if you are going through it, I'll just share like the mantra that has kind of like run my life in those low moments of like bringing yourself back to the present, reminding yourself it's not going to feel like this forever, but also just constantly checking in with yourself saying, is there anything wrong with this moment, like this moment we're in right now? And even when you're in those low moments where your brain is telling you all this horrible stuff, you're going to feel like this forever. In those low moments, often there's nothing explicitly going wrong. You're not being like lit on fire. For most of us, you know, we have a safe place to live. We have plenty to eat. We have a lot to be grateful for. And 99% of the time, there's nothing going wrong in this moment. So if you can reconnect to this moment and remind yourself that with ADHD, especially, the moment is all there is, that's my little mantra that I kind of live by. And it's helped me out a lot. So yeah, if you're listening and you're going through depression, just know that it's not going to feel like this forever.
That's incredible. Round of applause for that. Does anyone have anything to say to Shannon's resilience story there? Go ahead, Justin.
I love you, Shannon. I'm glad you're here today.
Yeah.
Love it.
There will love be it. Love. There will be compulsory love.
It felt good.
Yeah, go ahead, Justin.
The comorbidity stuff is a huge deal because, like, the model of good enough and not good enough we have as kids tends to be pretty binary. Like, are you in or are you out? Are you a good girl or a bad boy? You know, so it's emotionally unsophisticated. The idea that you can have one thing as a kid, you know, everyone understands the tragic story of the kid who got, you know, leukemia or something like that. Everyone understands what that is. But if someone says you've got ADHD, but you've got this, but you've got that too, it's so far beyond the pale for a kid to understand one of those things, let alone multiple ones of those things. There's a book called The Winner Effect. I think I got that name right. And essentially, one thing that worked for me was super, super small things. There used to be times when the only thing I achieved throughout a particular day was like making my bed and doing my washing. But I was like, bed done. Washing done. Yes. So big. Now, I don't say that to be sarcastic. I say it to, like, no one gives us a model of how to get out of that hole because I completely identify with the intractable endlessness of that sort of, well, firstly, I'm searching. I don't have an answer. Mm-hmm. Maybe there is no answer. Maybe I just suck. Oh, see, like, one of the paths to deciding that particular answer is really long, and one of them is super direct. One disagrees with everyone you know. One agrees with everyone you know. And when you're in family situations that, if you have a neurodivergence, are sometimes confronting, it's unsurprising that you just stick with the program and go, you know what? That's just who I am. Guess I'm screwed. So I have empathy, but, you know, for the comorbidities, anxiety and ADHD at the same time.
Thank you, Justin.
Yeah.
For that. We're going to go with Terry next on this. Terry, your resilience story, any resilience story, ADHD or not.
First, I want to comment on what Shannon said, because I've heard of the comorbidities, how the ADHD has affected the depression or the anxiety. And there are a lot of times where I feel like, oh, my anxiety has depression today, or my depression has anxiety today. God, I really hope you guys will understand how those two are different. So thank you for pointing that out. And that is a huge thing to think, like, oh yeah, I literally have no concept of time because of the ADHD. And depression and anxiety do want to also fuck with your view of time. So I'm going to have to keep that top of mind when I'm feeling bad feelings. But for resilience, so, you know, I think I've been resilient so many instances in my life and throughout so much that I never really looked at it as resilience specifically, but just like the pushing through and like the flexibility when things go wrong or you're faced with challenges and everything to like get through. And of course you don't feel resilient as you're doing it, but you know, once you're through it or in a different stage and you look back, you know, that's when you realize the resilience. But I do kind of want to point out, like, there is a time when we could use our resilience as a weakness for ourselves, because
absolutely
there have been times, I'm not going to get too specific, but you know, I was going through something a few years ago, and, you know, that just push through, just do what needs to be done, get up every day and do what needs to be done, and even push further and make success in this area, make success in that area. And, you know, don't stop to cry about it because no, there's too much shit to get done. That catches up with you, you know, it comes out in physical ways. You start having different symptoms of different issues going on within your body that you don't even realize what it's connected to. And, you know, you'll spend all this time looking for a reason without looking at the, like, didn't take a minute to rest, or, oh, I put myself in horrible situations because I was just trying to push through. And I saw something the other day, and I wish I saved it and had the exact wording of it, but it was like, basically, that resilience isn't only pushing through. Resilience is being able to say, hey, this isn't for me anymore. Or, yes, that is something that I want, but now that I see the cost, now that I see everything else that it is going to cost me in my mental health, in my physical health, in my relationships, in my values, in what I find important in life, that's not worth it to me. So, respectfully, peace to those goals. That's also being resilient.
Amazing. Does anyone have anything to say to Terry's amazingness in explaining that?
I love you, and I'm glad that you're here today.
that whole thing, like, we almost get lauded for how resilient we can be, but the idea of having less to carry, the idea that we can say no to something, you know, it's fucking colossal. And so many people, like, shitty jobs, shitty relationships. It's okay.
I'm going to push through, right?
Right. Yeah. It's going to segue great into the ending of this. But yeah, so I'm outside in the rain at the moment. Why not? ADHD. But to combine that, I'm also on the roof, which is just not safe. However, it gives me a perfect opportunity to thank the biggest supporters of this podcast once again. It's humbling, and I love all of you. So thank you, Terry Shugilla, who, by the way, is on this episode. Thank you, Leo Gagne, who also is on this episode. Thank you, Kirk Hofstrom, another person on this episode. Thank you, Casey Elliott. Thank you, Sarah Delano. Thank you, Blushing Crafter, again, also on this episode. Thank you, Justin Allingham, another person on this episode. Thank you, Jamie Young, and thank you, Beth Jones. I love all of you so much. Thank you for everything.
Yeah.
But Shannon, you wanted to say something, I think?
I very much relate to that. So thank you for bringing that up. But I also just wanted to add, I think something amazing about ADHD folks is that, you know, we have this I can do anything like attitude, which is amazing. Like, if we set our mind to doing something, even if we've never done it before, we can usually figure out how to do it. We can make it happen. That's one of the amazing things about ADHD. But a really hard lesson I've had to learn, or maybe I haven't fully learned it yet, is like, I think ADHD people can definitely do anything, but we can't do everything. So like, we have this tendency to like want to think of ourselves as the person that can do everything, and especially like not needing help doing it. So like knowing that it's okay not to do everything and not to do everything on your own is this massive part of resilience. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because it's just another lesson you have to learn about being resilient. You know, it's great you can get through anything, it's great you can push through, but there's this other side as well.
So well said.
When you go through something traumatic, maybe it's okay to be fucked up by that, because totally. Normal people would be fucked up by that. You know, the assumption that that whatever you're feeling is invalid just because you're a messy bessie. And no, like, maybe some things we go through sometimes should leave us feeling depressed. And maybe we can choose not to go through them again.
Got it. All right. Thank you for that, Justin. Geraint, let's go with you next. Resilience, ADHD resilience, or just resilience in general? Your story.
I don't know what I can say that other people have. You know, like, I think, you know, I haven't been here for a while, right? And part of the reason I haven't been here for a while is because I noticed that I was fucked up in the head, right? Like, I wasn't doing well. And, like, the last time I was here, I was listening to all you amazing people and some other amazing people who aren't here right now. You know, I was listening to the amazing stories, amazing things, and I was feeling like I was a piece of shit, right? And when I'm well, I don't think that, right? What other people are doing, I don't give a fuck, as it relates to me, you know? And that's why I haven't done Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or anything. Like, I just stepped away from it because I realized that thing that Terry was saying, right? Like, I need to be able to just stop for a bit and sort my head out and, like, let it go. Because I think that thing of, you know, what Shannon was saying is, like, we can do anything, we can't do everything. You know, I found myself in this place where I was feeling too stressed out by the wall of awful, you know, all the different things that I should be doing, that I wasn't doing any of it. But then I was beating myself up for that. So the bricks pile higher and they get thicker, and yet, like, it's just, and yeah, and I think part of resilience is just giving yourself permission to go, like, you know, actually, you can just let that thing go for a bit now. That's okay. And so that's what I've been doing. Like, I've mainly just been doing my mental health thing, and you know, trying to sort out my life a bit. You know, I've been spending the last few months just cleaning the house, like, genuinely just going through and, like, sorting out all the doom cupboards and the just all the crap that I've just let pile up. And it's been really cathartic, and it's like, it's a proper little project, because, you know, the bin men only come, like, once a week once every 2 weeks, and so you can't just do everything at once. And that's been, like, weirdly, like, meditative. It's like, okay, I'm going to sort this room out. I'm going to sort this shelf out. I'm going to sort this. I don't know if that answers the question, but, like, I guess.
No, it does. No, it absolutely does. I mean, it's, what you're saying is that you are doing it. You are sorting the dooms bins and getting rid of the fucking clutter and all of that. Maybe you could.
Maybe we can hop on after this and
tell me how to do that. That's be awesome.
It genuinely feels like I'm cleaning out the doom corners in my mind. Like, that is how it feels. Like, it's just, it's nice.
That's awesome. Anyone have anything for Geraint before we move on?
I love you, Geraint. I'm glad you're here today.
Thank you, RJ.
Awesome. Speaking of RJ, let's go with RJ next. RJ? Yes, you, Andre Agassi. Let's go.
Oh, me? Yeah. So I've been thinking about the story that, what story am I going to tell? Which one, right? I think we all have that. And Shannon alluded to it already, and that's our ability to do anything and how it often starts as somebody telling us we can't do something. And so we look at them and we say, fuck you, watch me. And then we don't just do it, but we do it better than they did originally, right? And along that way, we don't say the worst word in the English dictionary to anybody with ADHD, I believe, and that's help. We don't use the H word. And we try to carry it alone. But with so many people telling us what we can't do, what even you shouldn't do, or there's no way you'd be able to do that. When you start to do things for yourself instead of to show people, and you start to do them because they feel good to you instead, and you start to show yourself that you can, you don't hit that wall of, okay, now I showed you, and I showed you to a level that you didn't even think I could get to. So there you go, fuck you. And you kind of stop, right? And you move on to something else. But when you do it for yourself, and, like, that's the motivation, you don't hit that level where you're like, okay, now I've shown, and you actually get to a level that is higher than you thought was possible. And I think that that resilience there, that change of, I'm not going to do it because somebody says that I can't. And that's along the lines of, you know, same thing that like Terry's saying and everybody else, that this is something similar where it's, you start to do it for yourself and you just, you scratch and you claw and you get yourself there. But when you start walking and running, you don't stop because you start to have that fun and you start to experience things. And that's something that everybody has to get to on their own. That's something that I hope people find. It's tough. It is really tough to find your way through that. It feels like it's the thorny bushes you got to walk through to start. But when you get through that and you can start to do that, you start to really, really see the rainbows and unicorns. And that don't mean that everything's peachy keen. I mean, you know, unicorns are animals. They got shit. And if you don't take care of that shit, then those rainbows, they start to be blurry. So you still got to clean that up. And every once in a while, it gets out of hand. But that's, I think that side of the resilience, that once you're doing the work and you start to do things for yourself and you start to see the small stacks, the small steps really starting to add up, and you see how far you've come, it's not out of that spite anymore. And it's not out of that revenge. It's out of that self-worth that you end up building through that you really find that resilience, and you can look back at the things that you did that people told you you couldn't do, and you start to appreciate that even more. So that's all I got to say about that.
Hey, RJ, I love you and I'm glad you're here today.
Thank you.
I was wondering who's going to be the first one to take
in case that I have to go before everybody goes. I love you, Blushing, and I'm glad that you're here today. And I love you, Kirk, and I'm glad that you're here today. And Lobo, I love you. And thank you for providing this platform.
Absolutely.
And thank you for being you. And I am so glad that you're here today.
Thank you very much. Speaking of Blushing, we are going to go with Blushing next on this resilience topic. ADHD or not, resilience. Any story you want to pick?
The word resilience. People have been telling me, you are so resilient. And I feel like rolling my eyes and shaking my head. No, thank you. Because resilience, as someone said, is seen as something that you have because you go through so much tough crap, so much hardship. And believe me, I have. For years and years, not only ADHD related, but a whole lot of it has been. Or has been making other things worse because ADHD. And then I got fed up by people saying, you are so resilient. And then I said, what do you mean by that? And I got some good angles from some of the people here that do ring true with me. But then I got some who just said, oh yeah, because you went through that and that and that. And every single thing of those were negative, were really crappy, awful experiences. And I went, no, I'm going to find my resilience, what it is to me. And I've got so many stories I could use, but this one is pretty recent. I'm leading an offline local organization for LGBTQIA+ people. We're putting on events. We're in the media. We're everywhere. And when you're front-facing, public-facing, you get a lot of crap. A whole lot of it. And I will also say that I got threats. And at first, I get angry, and I get upset, And yes, there is some fear, but one that is because somebody threatened me. I could have said, you know what, this is too much, and stepped away. But instead, that resilience that I have had built in since I was a kid, it's not just something I built up. It's always been there. Like, I've talked to adults from my childhood and said, like, you were that way before you were 1 year old, you know? Says something. But I took it and I said, heck no. This is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm leading this. Also, because I have a heck of a good support network with close family, friends, people around me. And we have a lot of locals who are also really supportive and who are speaking up along with us and saying, nah, homophobia, transphobia, all that stuff, go, leave, stop it. But I'm taking it and I'm going with it and I'm continuing to lead. And yeah, I'll be in the media again more than a few times. I'm not stepping back for people who are wanting to, I don't know, say stuff that is untrue about me or even threaten me. No. So that's my resilience, saying the door is right there. If you don't handle me and my people, my folks, then bye. I'm not going to say it that way to their face. Actually, probably not talking to them to their face at all. But I'm going to have that attitude of, okay, I'm doing this thing together with great people, not doing it alone. And that's another part of the resilience part of this. I did a whole lot for a while by necessity on my own in this, almost on my own. And then when we went fresh earlier this year and said, okay, we're going to make something happen this year, I started immediately to think, who can I delegate this thing and this thing and this thing to? So that's part of my resilience, to say, when does it have to stop? Where's my limit? I knew where my limit is. I was in the middle of burnout even when we started this process this year. So I went, nope. And I said, I cannot do it all. Who can do that, and that? And great people around me said, I can do that. I can do that. And some things I have to do as the leader, but other things can be put on other people.
That's awesome, blushing. That's confidence right there. A confidence that I'd love to see. That's great stuff, blushing. Thank you so much.
I love you, blushing. I'm glad you're here today.
RJ is incredible. Kirk, you want to close us out on this resilience topic? ADHD, yes. Or not?
I knew like two people in. I was like, I'm going last.
You knew. Yeah. You absolutely knew.
It's good to be back. I have very much missed being on here. So one of the things I kept noticing, and there's like a theme sort of building. And of course my nerdy self wants to give everyone video game analogies for everything. But I noticed we talked about, Shannon brought up this time blindness, and that's something we all feel all the time, and how powerful the here and now is for us. Like that's where we win all our battles. That's where we succeed. That's where we shine. This ADHD is here and now. You can throw all the chaos at here and now and we're going to be fine. You give us something to do tomorrow. Okay. Good luck. And same thing with this, like the topic of resiliency. Like, we are very resilient because we're used to having a lot of roadblocks. We're used to being told that we don't work hard enough. We're used to being told that we're lazy, that we can't focus, that, you know, we're not going to accomplish things without plans that look like everyone else's. And because we're very resilient, we aren't very great at setting boundaries, despite those being extremely important. Not just for us, for everybody. And then we talked about being able to sort of like this self-belief and being able to see everything. You can throw anything at us. Yeah, we can do it. I could also sit on my couch and stare at a screen for like 14 days and do absolutely nothing at all. It's like all of these things that are our most powerful tools are also sort of the most dangerous to us. They're these big, clunky, this is this double-edged sword idea. This, like, yeah, I can do anything with this, but I also might ruin everything around me if I touch it. Like, yeah, I have a lot of resilience, but I might forget to set boundaries. Like, yeah, I can like lead into here and now, but then I'm going to forget all those other things that I was supposed to do later or yesterday. You know, yes, I can do everything, all of it, all right now. But if I get burnt out, then I'm just going to do nothing for days and days and days. And it is so hard to maintain balance. And if you have that added little perk of always wanting to be efficient, your shitting space just then. that like, I have to balance everything. I have to, but I can't, and I don't know how. There's too many big, heavy, crazy things I'm trying to wield at once, and that's exhausting. And then we beat ourselves up over it, and then we forget about it 7 minutes later because we have ADHD, and then we start the whole thing over.
Global Spark has started a fundraising effort for Crisis Text Line. We have a goal of $19 per episode, as $19 supports one person in their time of absolute crisis with their mental health. If you would like to donate through our fundraiser titled Lauren's Infinity, the link is listed in the episode's description. Lauren was my wife's best friend and loved by all who came into contact with her.
And I got diagnosed when I was in second grade. Like, I was like this big, tiny as a kid. And I've had I got really lucky. I've worked with people. I, you know, went to school for psych. I've had great therapists. I've had great teachers. And I still feel like I'm learning how to balance all this stuff. Like, how many years does it take to learn how to balance this? Like 25, 30, 40? How many more years do I need? You know, then I feel behind, blah, 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 blah. And that goes back to the topic of resiliency. Like, sure, I need to be resilient. But during this process, you know, that I only get one shot at. And even though I am blind to time sometimes, I'm very aware of how long and short we have. I need to be kind to myself during this. So as I've learned to be more resilient, I've also had to learn to be more kind to myself. And that's been a very difficult lesson. Not because I don't want to do it, because I want to do it very, very, very badly. And I know I deserve it. And I know I'll be a better person and everybody else will benefit from it. It's just hard. It's just difficult. So anytime I look at myself and go, you have to be like really tough. You have to grit your teeth. You have to be in the here and now with everything you have. You have to be really resilient. I also have to go, you need to be kind to yourself too. Is this sustainable? Is this something you can do tomorrow? Can you continue loving yourself the same way if you do this? Is everyone around you going to feel loved if you do this? So that's sort of been my lesson with resiliency, especially over the last like several months. Like, I haven't been here where I've wanted to be. I haven't been a lot of places I've wanted to be. And some of that's because, you know, I was not balancing things well, or I was balancing things well. I need to take a break. And that's all part of the learning. And, you know, I think I just got to keep doing that, keep practicing balance along with the resiliency. And hearing everybody's sort of put those little pieces together as we talk. Everybody's sort of counterpointing each other with all those things that I'm feeling anyways is good. And it's helpful because we're all doing the same things and we're all sharing those lessons. So it's sort of nice to go last because you guys put it all together for me and put it on a silver platter. And so thanks.
Of course. Does anyone have anything to follow that up with? We have blushing and we have.
I love you, Kirk. And I'm glad that you're here today. I missed you too.
I love you too, RJ. Oh my gosh.
Blushing.
When you said about the needing to take a break, needing to slow down, I relate. Like I was just talking about that. But then when he said, will other people be affected in a good way? Like, will they be happy if I do this? Actually, kind of say lower the expectations, lower the demands on myself or on ourselves, really. Because most of us, I know for a fact, will have high demands of ourselves. And that's also part of the process I've been going through lately. Like, okay, so maybe I and we can't have that thing that we ideally would like to have. But this too is good enough. No matter what it's about, like, is this other thing, this alternative, good enough too? Cool. It's less, maybe, than the other one, but not less value, just less in amount or, like, it's not ideal, but hey, it's good. Cool. Go for it.
All right. I had one thing to add in too here.
Yeah.
So, you know, really resonating on the fact that, like, there's this desire to kind of constantly add things to the plate and make them more efficient. And that's something that I've always done. And for a long time, my approach was just like, I can keep adding things if I just make everything efficient enough. Eventually, it will all fit. And one of the things I realized is that may technically possibly be true, it's not particularly realistic. And one of the things that I've really found a lot of success with is starting to drop things as easily as I pick them up. And so as I pick up more stuff, which I inevitably do, and then I start to feel that, oh, well, now I'm starting to be a bit overwhelmed, I now will be like, I'll take a look at everything I'm doing. And if there's something in there that's just like, I feel like I'm struggling more with it than I used to, like it started off easy and fun and exciting, and now it's just not, like, it's not triggering the dopamine. It's not serving me. I feel like it's a chore. I just get rid of it. Like, I don't even worry about it anymore. It's like, oh, that's done. Like, did I talk about it like 2 weeks ago, all of excitement, trying to get people hyped up about that idea? And then it's just not there. Like, nope, sorry. I've learned to not struggle to keep things around that I don't need to keep around. And one book that really helped it's called Quit, The Power of Knowing When to Walk Away by Annie Duke. Highly recommend it. Her whole thing is like, everybody talks about the idea of grit, like it's like this superpower, and like, yeah, but it turns out that a lot of times it's just like dumb to be gritty just for the sake of grit. Whereas, like, you know, quitting always has kind of this negative connotation surrounding it. And it's like, no, actually, like a lot of times it's really powerful to just know when to say, yeah, it's good to stop now. Like, this is the time to stop. So yeah, highly recommend that book. It really did clarify things quite well for me. And now it's just like, oh, it's time to quit. I'm not even going to question it anymore. Yeah.
Thank you, Leo.
I want to jump back in one last time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do this thing where we're like, oh yeah, if I can be in the here and now, I can be super resilient. I can do everything at once because I know I can. I know I can. And if I can be efficient enough, I can take care of everyone. I can take care of myself. I can accomplish all my goals. I can protect everybody. I can make enough money. Like, no, you're just going to be tired and you're going to be burnt out and you're going to be angry. You're not a god. Like, my ego is going to tell me I'm a god. My ADHD, stop it. And yeah, we all want to be able to do, if we just could focus enough to be like everybody else, we could. Like, no, that's not what we're supposed to do. I forget who I told this to. I don't remember when I said it. I was talking to somebody and I said to them, if there were just this infinite version, you know, there's all these choices you make. There's an infinite amount of yourself you could be. There's so many choices you can make. The best version of you is not the version of you that pushed the hardest, that was most resilient, did everything right, that was in here now, blah, blah, blah. It was not that version of you. That is not the best one. Best one of you was also the you that was the kindest to themselves. You have to know when to say no. You have to know when to say take a break. You have to, you know, you have to know when to set all those boundaries. You can't be perfect because we're just normal people. Like, sure, we've got all those capabilities and sure, we can wield those, but sometimes we need to put those down and rest. And sometimes we need to say no and be kind to ourselves.
Yeah. 100,000%. So does anyone have anything else before I read something real quick? And then we hop off.
A 4-hour monologue if we're all ready.
So in terms of resilience, to me, I think that resilience is different for every person, whether it is taking a break, whether it is pushing through. There are times for both. And right now, my resilience is telling me to step away. And I don't think I have ever done that. I've spoken with a few of you about this. I don't think I've ever done this ever, because my whole life, my jobs, everything have always been just get up, just do it, just go, just do, you know, and so that just became ingrained in me. Like, that's what you do, right? Like, you get knocked down, you fucking get up. Like, that's, but right now, I'm not going to do that push through it thing. I am going to walk away for a little while. And fucking sleep. that is because I know that people with ADHD don't sleep very well, but I really don't sleep very well. I can tell you right now. I am dedicating this episode and all of this to both my mom and dad, who instilled a lot of things in me and gave me such a fucking advantage from day one. So, Mom, Dad, love you. This is for you. This is something I wrote in 2005. A spark is defined as a momentary flash of light. Sparks serve to animate, kindle, and excite.
I'm hearing your passion and enthusiasm. That's like a whole different level.
I mean, that's a good label too. I like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not neurodiverse. I'm just fucking awesome.
Very proud of what I'm capable of, and I'm learning to be compassionate about the days when I'm not.
Don't give up. It feels so good to talk to you about the fucking awesome stuff.
Like, right.
I am there with them, and I am able to close out everything else and focus on them.
They are a small but noticeable trace of something that could become stronger. And all along the way, you're going to have people trying to tear that fucking bridge down that you're building. And they're going to say, this isn't right because you built it this way. You used the wrong nails or whatever. Fuck that and fuck them. Because once you build it your way, it'll be the best goddamn bridge on earth. Without a spark, a fire cannot ignite.
Truly, I believe that neurodiverse people are the ones that change the world.
This is like one totally surreal experience.
A fire is defined as a rapid, persistent chemical change.
And one strategy could work now. Oops, you need to find a new one.
People love a fire for the warmth and comfort they can provide.
People don't mind if you're different as long as you're okay with being different.
Fires are driven, forceful, and nonstop, as their flames are mostly unpredictable and cannot be controlled.
And we have to see it.
As a fire grows larger, more sparks fly to protect and spread its already consistent flames.
There's a lot of connections that man has made. You are obviously alongside him now as well.
I am good with vision. I am good with like that big picture. Like I am big vision and I could work hard.
But if you find the spark that ignites a fire within you, your life will change, but be cautioned. Your fire can consume you, but when it consumes you, for the better.
You really have shaped my life. I wouldn't be where I'm at right now if it wasn't for you.
When it consumes you, for the greater good of this world as a whole.
For me, it could be writing. For you, it could be the podcast. I think that we are natural creators.
When it consumes you with people that are now friends, where there is no judgment of how your brain operates. So you stay being you, okay, always. Don't let anyone fucking tell you anything different. When it consumes you to the point that you are so overwhelmed of the heavy task of helping people see the good in themselves.
I think I'm the first person in a long time that said I was intense and not in a bad way.
Because I'm an intense person. I love recognizing that in someone else. It makes me feel not as alone. The world needs you. I would give you a standardized test with one question. Have you or have you not saved a 5-year-old child's life? Yes or no? Bubble in the correct answer. We have a Casey Elliott here that answered yes to saving a 5-year-old kid's life. Run that through your fucking machine.
Trust me, you gave yourself shit when you couldn't fix the problem. So therefore, you deserve a bit of credit when you do.
You feel that tension, right? And then as soon as someone that we trust that's giving us that answer says, you're going to be okay, we go,
suppose we are. Is the very reason for this podcast.
People who work hard to make themselves good should be able to feel good about themselves.
I'm working on that. How can we name our Friday night get-togethers? Within 5 seconds, you were like, oh, ADHD with benefits, done. I'm like, what the fuck? That's like the most brilliant fucking thing ever. When it consumes you with what will push this world forward in the direction of love and not hate.
Wish I could go back in time and give your friend Lauren a hug.
Something. We're giving her one right now.
I never felt more comfortable speaking about what I go through than I did last night. So thank you, Lobau.
And when it consumes you to the point where you start to get really fucking tired, that is when you are truly on fire. It makes you someone that later in life, you will be able to put the best team together with the best people because you're willing to defend them.
I would protect my team. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is my...
Don't hide the cape.
Don't hide the cape.
I think we're all fighting for love to win in this battle. And that's not to say that we're all the most loving and we don't never do anything wrong at all of that. But by doing this right now, we're fighting for love and not hate.
I'm proud that I find meaning in helping others. Like my entire life, all I wanted to do is help other people.
We are fighting for people. When they wake up, they can't understand that they have something good to give to this world.
Cards, and if you have bad cards too many times, sometimes you don't want to play anymore.
I want us to provide so many decks of cards that surround them. They have so many options. Oh, this didn't work. Here's another card. That didn't work. Here's another person. I think all of us in life have a desire to be loved, have a desire to want camaraderie. But going back to the resilience thing, y'all have been a spark that has protected this fire for so long. Y'all maintained it this whole time.
We're a team.
Y'all are the ones that maintained the fire.
You had it. It's just that your mind went, fuck you, and didn't let you admit it. And so you just reworked it so it worked for you.
I may have lit a fucking match, but y'all have maintained the goddamn fire.
Hi, everyone. I'm Will, a friend of Lobau's. I wanted to send everyone a shout out for being advocates for mental health. So I just wanted to say thank you and keep that fire burning.
I love all of you very, very much.
You were very integral into the first moment that I was proud of myself. And I couldn't wait to tell you.
You put the match where it mattered the most.
You matter. That's it.
That's community.
Yeah.
And where it made the biggest impact.
We fucking did some good shit, Lauren, didn't we?
We're gonna end up where we want.
The key to building a successful team is to having a team with diverse strengths that all offset each other's weaknesses.
I want to get everyone that's been on this together.
That would be so fun.
How fun would that be?
It literally becomes like a raging like wildfire where I'm like, boom.
Do you see that movie that just came out about how the laundry was clean every day? Did you see that movie? Fuck no, you didn't see, because there's never been one. God damn it, I love you.
It's the lens through which you see the world. It is the filter through which every experience you have ever had since Earth has been through.
You start internalizing like, oh, I have to like try harder, try harder, try harder. And then because you have ADHD, you are trying harder. It's not that easy.
No.
And I think that's where like kind of sharing personal experiences like is very, very helpful.
And what better characteristic to have than only thriving when it's really difficult? Because life is hard as shit. And it is. And, I mean, no one will ever argue with that. Life is difficult as shit, but neurodivergent people have a grind and an intensity about them to always dig themselves out, to always go to the next thing. And that, to me, makes us extremely powerful.
Amazing. See, that's that locker room talk that I needed.
The world needs you.
That was epic. That was absolutely epic.